Visita un tale di giustizia per Spiritus quam si parlo e fariseo, non un tale di credo in cielo. Unless your justice exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, today, for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost, our gospel is taken from the fifth chapter of Matthew, in which our Lord tells us about the perfection that he expects from us in observance of the law. A little earlier in the same gospel, he stated that he came not to do away with, but to fulfill the law. Let us welcome to this perfection that our Lord expects of us, especially on the question of anger, as suggested by today's gospel. As you well know, the fifth commandment states, "Thou shalt not kill." In salvation history, the time of the church under the Old Testament was a period of penitence, a time for the chosen people of God to learn of God's ways. After thousands of years of living with the consequences of the original sin of Adam and Eve, our Lord began leading his people to salvation by first teaching them of his ways through the law and the prophets. By observing the law and obeying the teachings of the prophets, the people should have been well prepared for the coming of the Messiah. For this, the scribes and the Pharisees, as interpreters of the law, should have been leading their people to greater and greater conformance with the law of God. However, by the time of the coming of our Lord, they had overburdened the people by adding on many observances without doing anything to help them. The definition of justice is to give to each one what is due to him. The virtue of religion is that part of the virtue of justice that concerns giving to God what is due to him. By overburdening the people, the scribes and Pharisees would place a large emphasis on external works and would discount that which was most important in this work of justice towards God: the growth of the chosen people in perfection, particularly in the virtues of faith in God and hope in his promises. Hence it was sufficient for the scribes and Pharisees to not kill a man, to not commit homicide, without considering forgiveness and fraternal charity. Our Lord, however, came to insist that we aim higher. The way of the scribes and the Pharisees is to do the work of justice without ever arriving at truly being just, because we never grow in faith, hope, and charity. It is this that allows us to have a supernatural aspect to our justice. In today's gospel, our Lord asks us to have a greater justice than the scribes and Pharisees. In fact, he asks us for two things. The first is that in everything that we do, we should be sincere. The internal dispositions of our souls should be expressed in our external actions, and our external actions should be reflected in our internal dispositions. The scribes and Pharisees were so concerned with the external act of eating the provisions of the law that they neglected the internal dispositions of the souls of the people. Secondly, our Lord asks us to practice what we preach. The scribes and Pharisees were so full of their own sense of superiority that they would not do what they commanded the people to do. For this reason, our Lord reminded the people that they should do what the Pharisees told them, but not do as they do. Our Lord demands of us a sincerity in every one of our actions. Instead of having the negative aspect of doing no harm, our justice should be positive, in that we should have a real fraternal charity towards our neighbor. This is how we establish in our hearts the kingdom of God, showing by the testimony of a clear conscience the fruits of the Holy Spirit. By taking up the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill. Our Lord illustrates his exhortation to have a clear conscience, a sincerity in our hearts. This commandment is not a prohibition against hunting, for we read in the Bible, every moving thing that lives will be food for you, just as I gave you the green plants in the book of Genesis. It is not a prohibition of capital punishment, for God reminds us in the book of Deuteronomy that secular authority has the right to inflict this punishment against those who unjustly kill other people, who are also created in the image and likeness of God. This commandment is a prohibition against suicide for the same reason. Man is created in the image and likeness of God. However, fundamentally, this commandment is about taking the life of another unlawfully, without a warrant. This commandment is about the sin of Cain, who hardened his heart in hatred against his brother Abel, such that he killed him in a jealous rage. Therefore, in today's gospel, the Lord points out the two things that the Pharisees refused to emphasize in their interpretation of the law. These two things come before the external action of killing someone. The law says, thou shalt not kill. Before Cain killed his brother, he had anger and hatred in his heart. These are the things that our Lord is warning us about. In his commentary on today's gospel, St. Thomas teaches us that we can have three levels of anger. Anger hiding in our hearts, anger appearing externally, and anger erupting into harm. When someone provokes us to anger, the passion can rise in our hearts. This anger may neither appear externally nor cause harm, but even when hidden, it can be one of two types. When we are angry in the right amount, at the right things, for the right reasons, then we have sin. This zealous anger is not sinful, but can even be virtuous. It can arise when we have to correct someone in a particular situation. However, if we want the person who provoked us to suffer something in some way, then we sin mortally or venially, depending on the case. It is a bad type of anger, a lack of charity, a type of anger that is satisfied by vengeance. It is when we nurse this hidden sinful anger that it can fester in our souls and appear externally in angry words or gestures. The Pharisees, with their materialistic interpretation of the law, had completely lost its spirit. They had forgotten that the eyes of the Lord are always upon us, and that he sees our intentions as well as our acts. Anger and resentment that smolder in our heart do not escape. At the same time, Jesus asks great delicacy of us in all our exterior dealings with our neighbor. He demands that we avoid not only offensive acts, but even words that might hurt another. Our Lord calls us to overcome this anger as well by practicing the virtue of patience. This type of anger, if not removed from our souls, can become hardened. Hardened anger leads to hatred, and it is hatred that can bring us to want to kill someone. The application of the law, as demanded by the Pharisees, would only deal with the external act of homicide. But in fact, they should have been teaching their people to watch for these things in the soul that could lead to a violation of the fifth commandment in thoughts, if not already in words and deeds. Our Lord points out that we should be vigilant and deal with the first movements of anger in our soul. At times it may be necessary to refuse to act until we have calmed down. This is possible by the grace of God. By this exercise of patience, we become masters of our souls. For this reason, St. Peter invites us today to firmly implant in our hearts the virtues of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, to be part of his perfection instead of increasing our imperfections. He says, be all like-minded in prayer, compassionate, lovers of the brethren, merciful, reserved, humble, not rendering evil, or abuse for abuse. Our Lord has ordered us not to punish, but to bless each other. He has commanded us to help each other to grow in perfection, and not to scandalize each other with our bad behavior. St. Peter continues, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no deceit. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. With our weakness and frailty, we cannot preserve peace if we have no compassion for the false prophets. If we do not know how to be kind to those who displease us, and if we cannot bear blame with humility, let us not hesitate to turn to Our Lady, seeking her help to examine our consciences closely, to forgive and to accept forgiveness. Let us ask her to help us grow in the sincerity and clarity of conscience, by which we will live a true and good moral life, according to the commandments of God and in cooperation with His grace. Our Lady, help of Christians, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.